Hello and welcome to the Dad Podcast. I'm your host, Justin Worsham. With me, as always, is the one, the only, the guy who has to come up with something to say every time I do this, Paco Lancini, a.k.a. Adam Dooley. And on this given day, the recording of this happening on the 3rd of December, 2015, in the year of our Lord, how are you?
I am nervous.
Why?
Because Luna is listening.
Oh, Luna is listening, ruining the show, ruining everything for everyone. It's what she does. What? Here's the thing.
I am going to...
As if her... Yes. No, I'm not running.
I know.
As if her life isn't good enough to be married to you, right?
And yes, certainly that.
And have to deal with the unfortunate burden of having a caregiver at all levels of her life.
Yes.
I don't know what I was going to say.
Well, I don't know what I was going to say anymore either. So, no, what I was going to say is I...
Oh, what does she do? Evidently, all that has to happen to inspire me is you have to start a thought. And I become inspired. What job does she do that she can afford the luxury to sit and listen to this show?
Well, I heard via text. First of all, she was badgering me as I was getting ready to come over here. Why isn't the show on? Where are you guys? What's happening? What's going on? But apparently the cat is away at the office, so she's going to play.
Oh, that's a good analogy because she works for the Big Mouth.
That's true. I hadn't thought of that.
See, you're amazing on levels you don't even know.
Exactly.
That's what it is to be you, my friend.
Well, I solemnly swear to provide the listeners with as much embarrassment and family secrets revealed as usual.
I don't like her texting you about the show.
I didn't think you would.
I think
to get up inside my head is what she's trying to do.
Here's the stipulation I will make.
Yeah.
And she might have to create some kind of a stock or back order type situation in order to make this happen, because I don't think this is going to be workplace friendly. This is what they call in the corporate world NSFW. Google it.
National Negro. She could.
Yes.
Right.
So far, you're off to a rare start. No, I think that she can send you texts regarding this show as long as it is immediately preceded by some kind of boob shot.
All right.
That is my rule and stipulation.
All right. Let's get that ratified.
Right. It doesn't need to. This is the great thing about this not being America. This just being the rules that are me.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's already an amendment.
There you go.
It just happened. All I have to do is speak it into this cylinder.
And
so it shall be written and so it will be known.
Well, I will keep an eye on my screen there.
Get ready.
Yeah.
Either that or she's never going to talk to you about the show again.
That's what's going to happen.
Win-win. See what I'm saying?
Yes.
See what I do? I create what I call the checkmates of life. let's see what's going on in my neck of the woods. We have drama.
Yes.
We have drama in the land of Worsham. Jacob has, I've made mention of the group of friends that we have, and the parents have decided that children have a sixth sense about them. And when they sense comfort, or joy, or, any level of homeostasis.
Yes.
They go, that's not right. Mm-hmm. And they do something to adjust. They compensate for it.
Yes.
You.
It's the minute my ass hits the chair is when I hear, Hey, Dad.
Yes. Yeah. Can I do that? Which, by the way, again, your children's so lucky. That my children are, somebody sent me a Twitter message or whatever the kids are doing now, Paco.
Right.
And I don't know what you kids are doing. But about how I call my kids toddlers. I just like the term toddlers, but I guess at four you can't call them a toddler anymore, so I guess I have kids. But anyway, my kids are of an age where they can ask for something and I should have to get up and get it for them. I don't even do that for them. Your kids are less than 5 years away from being able to vote for our next president.
Yes.
And
visit brothels.
Yes, exactly. Yes. And buy booze in a few short years after that.
Yeah.
And yet, when you sit down, like, hey, can you get a grilled cheese? And you're like, right on it. Anyway, so there's drama.
It between my cheeks.
There's drama in amongst the group of friends, a couple of the buds, one of them being my son Jacob, the other one being obviously another child. and they're fighting. And this started, there was a play date happening over at the other house. And then this is what I love, the world that we live in now.
Yeah.
They called each other mean. And that's crossing a line now. If you call someone else mean, you are a bully.
Yeah.
You are a villain. You are like, if this is where we're going, if this is the direction we're heading, will Hitler at some point be the name that shall not be mentioned? Like, will he be the Voldemort of the real world? Will we just try to like put fingers in our ears and close our eyes and go la 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 whenever we talk about World War II? Like,
right.
And so that happened. And then the next time we saw each other, the other child said to his mother, said that I want to talk to Jacob's dad about this with you here, which is, here's the thing. It's very weird from when we were children.
Yeah.
But at the same time, you're like, wow, kudos to this kid. He's like, okay, we're going to have a mediation. We're gonna have a sit down. Like, I don't know if he's been watching like some mafia documentary on the History right. Channel or something all weekend.
Yeah,
but he wants to have a sit down.
Yes,
with his mom present.
Yeah.
I guess
you're
she's
the consigliere.
Yeah. I thought the mom would be all right. Good. Right. Maybe she's a captain of some kind. Anyway, so he wants to talk to me, and what he says is he says that Jacob called me mean.
Yeah,
and then I said, Jacob, did you call him mean? And he goes, yes, I did. And I said, why did you do that? And Jacob said, because he was being mean. And I said, all right, well, I painted myself into that corner now, didn't I? And so it's this weird thing where here's the thing.
Yeah.
When parents interact with children, we always know the children are wrong because children are stupid.
Yes.
They are nowhere near as smart as
They're
us.
Liars.
They're liars. Oh, my gosh, they are liars. But
yeah,
for some reason, when you put those two, just much like in physics or chemistry, when you put two negatives together,
yes,
I may or may not understand science. It's like you can't figure it out. They repel each other, but you don't know what to do. So you see, this is my, he's taking a picture of my mathematical description
explaining
of negative
science.
Ions. Yeah. And it looks a lot like, here's the church, here are the people, actually. When you bring another parent into the mix and say, and then now there's another child, I just want to come out and say, I know my child is an asshole.
Right.
But you're not supposed to say that.
Yes.
Especially in front of the kid. Now, again, weirdly enough, just you and the child, and you're being an asshole for whatever reason, socially slightly more accepted, I guess. I would say accepted. Most people probably go, Justin, you're pushing it.
Right.
But I'm sitting there, and I go, okay, now we have to navigate. We're two parents.
Yeah.
Navigating the bullshit of, like, you know, are you the parent who thinks your kid's shit doesn't stink?
Yeah, right.
Or am I the parent who thinks, you know what I mean? Like, and then, but then it's like, it's almost like you automatically have to do ABC's wife swap. you have to then defend the other child and then shit on your child, which sends a very weird message to the children.
Right.
And so it's just this weird thing where I'm like, okay, how's this going to go down? And it went down as such where my favorite part was one of the moms said, well, maybe we should just from here on, we should live according to the golden rule. And she said, he goes, well, what if Jacob doesn't know the golden rule? And she goes, I'm pretty sure Jacob knows the golden rule. Everybody knows the golden rule. I go, yeah, we live by the golden rule. And I lean in her and I go, what's the golden rule again?
That's what I thought was going on.
And thankfully, what she said, yeah. I did all this in front of the kids, too.
Yeah, right.
Because I'm good at this. I said, she goes, the golden rule is you treat other people the way you would like to be treated. I said, yes.
At any point, did she call for another adult to come in and swap
to
out
officiate?
With you? Yeah.
Somebody threw their hat at the play. Before I even say, Jacob goes, my dad says that all the time. And I looked at this woman and said, see, I am a good parent. So clearly your kid is the, no, I didn't say that. So I go, yeah, we love the golden rule. And then this little boy goes in classic little boy fashion. He goes, yeah, but what if that doesn't work? What if it's not enough that we all, even though we all agree, we all understand the golden rule should be enacted moving forward.
Yeah.
What if that doesn't do it? And I said, I think you would agree said to this young man. I'll give him Juan. I said, I think you would agree, Juan, that the we have Juan. That's your dad, Jaime. We'll go Jaime. Happy Hanukkah, everybody. And so I looked at Jaime and I said, "Well, then the only thing I think you would agree, Jaime. The only thing we could do is never speak to each other again." I said, "If you can't live by the golden rule, then we aren't people who should be interacting with each other." I said, "Maybe occasionally we will make awkward eye contact, only to immediately break it and never speak to each other again."
See?
And this kid smiles, and he kind of like, he doesn't laugh, but he smiles at me like, "I see what you're doing, old man." And I said, I go, "Does that sound like a plan?" He goes, "Yeah." And I go, "Okay." And so then they went and proceeded to be regular children playing with each other.
Right. Now, you see, when he said, "What if we can't live by the golden rule?" Mm-hmm. I thought you were going to say, "Oh, I see. He should have called you an asshole."
Yes.
That's really what he was off. And the other thing is, here's the thing. When you said, "Everyone, let's live by the golden rule."
Uh-huh.
To me, that didn't mean everybody treat each other nicely. That just meant that this kid could call your son mean.
Right.
I mean, whatever it was, it doesn't necessarily mean we're all going to be nice. It just
means
be prepared to take it if you're going to give it.
No, I think what it means is that if you – so to a certain extent, yes, because the golden rule does not – is operating under the assumption of that you would like to be treated nicely.
Yes.
Because you treat other people the way you would like them to treat you.
Right.
So – you're right in that there's a, but you know, now we're getting into letter of the law, intent of the law, you know, and that's, I just ratify personal constitutions.
Okay.
That's all I do. And she is actually a sovereign nation as far as families go. So now we're in a heated debate. It's almost a Cold War that's happening.
Now, at no point, your son had to suck it up and go, "Yeah, I said he was mean." But at no point did that little shit have to go, "Here's what I did to be called mean."
Yeah. Here's what happens
because
when
it sounds like he was not ever held accountable for his behavior.
No, when you're the squeaky wheel, you know what I mean?
I guess
it doesn't always, it bodes well for you. Because here's the thing, I don't like, and her and I actually talked. I think she's actually more worried about this affecting like other, like our friendship kind of thing than I am.
Yeah.
I don't know. I used to think, I like to think that I could exist in any social situation and get by maybe like at a younger age, I thought I could succeed. Now I know that I barely exist. Like I just, here's what I do. I smile and I say inappropriate things and everybody gets a little chuckle out of it and we move along.
Right.
But when it comes down to actually saying like, if it gets too real, I don't know what to do. I mean, I have thoughts and opinions.
Right.
Most of them are contrary to the people I'm talking to, I found.
Right.
And most of the time, I feel like people don't really want to hear my bullshit.
Yeah.
So I just kind of keep it to myself a little bit. Like
in the British legal system, there is something when they're dealing with minors, you know, bringing them into interview or whatever. They have
These are the people in caves?
Yeah, these are people in caves. They have to have somebody come in who's considered who's considered an appropriate adult. That would never be you.
That would never be me.
In any sense.
I'd be like, sit there, both of you, quit your fucking whining. And by the way, your accent's delightful. So we kind of had this back and forth about, you know, so we did the golden rule. And then I can't remember what order this happened in. I think we went to the park.
Yeah.
And this mom has a ton of kids. And I want to say this because no point do I want this. If she ever, like, listens to this, that's not why I'm saying it. But,
okay.
I feel like the people who listen to this podcast with regularity know who I am and can understand my intent through my jokes.
Yes.
And I would hope that this mom would too, but I'm a big fan of all these kids. I want them to all get along mostly because I like their parents. I can give a fuck about the kids.
Yes. Agreed.
But anyway, is that we went to the park and she was at home because she has like, I think she has two little ones and a teenager as well. Yes, my math is correct on that. So a lot of times, and that's what's so great about this group of friends that we've kind of fallen into, is that we'll all go to the park, the kids will all play, and if a parent has to go get a sibling and take them to gymnastics or something, there's always one or two of us that's there at the park overseeing all the children.
Sure.
So it's like a little commune that we've made, only I am not getting to bang the moms.
Right. And, I was going to ask you if at any point did you get to do one to that mother?
No. See, and that's the thing. I am easily the least attractive father in commune.
Yeah.
I'm the guy. Who am I? I'm the guy who
Steve Buscemi.
I'm this compost pile guy. I feel like
okay.
I'm the Steve Buscemi. But I'm trying to think in the world of hippie commune. Like, what's the guy who's like, "Oh, I don't want to have to fuck Jerry." Like, you know. whoever that would be.
I think that was enough of an explanation.
Okay. So anyway, so she's not there. I have the kids, and then they start up again. Jacob come or the Jaime comes and says, Jacob just said I was being mean. And so I said, okay. And I said, and here's the thing. What?
Well, I just realized something.
Yeah.
Your kids, because they live in this kind of environment and in this world.
What do you mean by this?
Well, like where.
What do you mean by you people?
Where even the smallest thing is considered being bullied.
Yes.
That's so far away from anything that is actually mean. So in point of fact, this kid might be doing nothing.
Oh, no.
But your pussified son is going, oh, he was, I'll shut up then.
No. Here's the thing. I would be the first to admit that my son is pussified, especially when comparing him to a World War II veteran generation child.
Right, right.
But when it comes to social interaction, he is very sensitive, and I hate it when people describe their child as sensitive. But
yeah,
I have one.
Yes.
But I don't think he is unjustified in this. If what my son is saying is from his version, you know, we've talked about the sitcom where you see the same story.
yeah.
If what my son is saying to me is the truest form, then I'd be like, yeah, I'd understand why you'd be a little pissed, and it's not cool. What's happening?
Right.
So I go to Jacob and I say, Jaime says that you were being mean.
Yes.
And he's, by the way, I'm very impressed with my ability to maintain that name.
So am I.
So, Jacob immediately tears just boom, it goes off. And I was like, whoa, like, hey, hold on. And so I calm him down. And basically what it was happening is Jacob is, I wouldn't call Jacob a fear-filled person as a child, but he is a very cautious person. Like, and I think he is fearful, you know what I mean? But I would not say that that is what defines his personality. If you were to create a USA Today pie chart of the child's personality,
I was just about to.
Yeah, his kindness and generosity would represent most of middle America, right?
Yeah.
His fear would represent a very small rural community spread out over the nation. And then his tiny other part slice of the pie chart would be his understanding of children his own age. I think that's what it would be.
Yes.
So he's upset, and he basically what happened was this kid said that even though Jacob is older than him, he is afraid of a lot more, and that hurt Jacob's feelings.
Sure.
And to Jacob, it's like, we're friends. Why would, and I deal with this a lot even in my adult life. And I told him, I said, I don't know what it is, but there are people, and maybe he gets his sensitivity from me. Yeah. I don't get as upset because I'm obviously an adult and I cry alone like a real person. No.
Like a real man.
No, is that I've had people in my life for a long time that they think it's okay to just blatantly insult me. Even though, like, I'm friendly with them and kind with them, you know what I mean? Like, and I think that Jacob took it personally. He was trying to explain to this young man that he goes, listen, that I don't like the way that makes me feel.
Yeah.
We're friends. But this child's response to that was to cover his ears and run away. Like, I don't want to hear it.
Oh, wow.
Kind of a thing. So at
who's afraid now, bitch?
Exactly. Well, I did point out to Jacob, I said, well, to be fair, he's afraid of confrontation.
Yeah.
Like,
it means you won, Jacob.
You're a better person, and just live with the fact that you're going to be in a higher tax bracket. That's the point of this.
We're really?
No,
I don't know. His name is Jaime.
Jaime.
Oh, well,
he's very successful. Right. Yeah, it could be Jewish. And we had this long conversation where I was kind of, and I tried to even say to Jacob, like, well, why does this upset you so much? I go, is it possible that there's a part of this that you think is true, that you believe is true?
Yeah.
To which Jacob said, no, I don't know that I buy that. It might just be that he's not aware yet of why he feels what he feels.
Right.
But we kind of kept talking out, and I said, listen, I said, I think you and I both would agree that Jaime's a good guy, right? He's a good friend.
Yeah.
You guys are in a rough spot. Because I still stand by this. I don't want to shit on Jaime. I think he's a good kid.
Sure.
But, I said, here's what I can tell you, son. As you grow up, there are going to be lots of people who are behaving like Jaime is behaving right now.
Yeah.
And the only thing you could do is learn to deal with that.
Mm-hmm.
I said, I go, my advice, because he goes, I'll just ignore him. I said, I think ignoring him is great, but that lets people do stuff that they should not be allowed to do, in my opinion. I said, yeah. So if you want to try ignoring him and let me know if that works for you or if it doesn't work, I said, I'm always here to talk to you about it.
Yeah.
But I said, my personal opinion is that you got to look inside yourself and you got to figure out a way to not care. I said, what's more important than anything is that you do not allow someone like Jaime to dictate how you feel about yourself.
Right.
That to me is the key. I said, he goes, and then he said something like, you know, well, what I think is what matters. I said, yes. I said, but I said, I also think it's okay for people that are important to you that what they think matters. I don't like this whole bullshit that, you know, you're special because you know you're special. Like, you know, right. You still got to work for somebody someday and you can't go and like, boss man, I don't know if you know, but I'm fucking special. I don't want to raise that person.
Right.
So I say you have to choose. I go, you decide. You pick people that are important to you that you look at and go, I value their opinion.
Yeah.
And I go, right now, just the way your life is built, I said, those two people, mom and dad, automatically occupy spots one and two. That's just how it has to go down.
Right.
And then he said, which one's number one? I said, I think we both know. I said, grandma, grandpa, I think fits in there. And I said, maybe a teacher or something like that. I go, but there's a group of people that that's what should matter. And I think he kind of got that. And it was this, you know, round robin thing or whatever. Well, then we went to go pick him up from school recently. And then the teacher comes out to talk to me.
Yeah.
And it was because Jacob got very upset in the classroom. So the two boys, they were going at it again.
Mm.
And so
this is now a third time.
Yes. So the teacher said,
someone needs to be deported.
But. Exactly. Jaime.
I didn't say
or
that.
Or Jakob. So I sat there. I go, okay. And she's telling me basically what happened. It was the same kind of thing where somebody did something on the playground and then somebody upset. And then Jacob was trying to, you know, kind of can say, hey, listen, you got to, I want to be friends, blah, blah, blah. Like talk to him. The kid doing the earmuffs and no.
Right.
So now the kids are running around. And then it's funny that the mom and I are kind of chatting about this and going, you know, and so I said, here's what I have heard.
Jaime's mom.
Yes.
Jaime's mom.
I said, here's what I've heard from my son. And then what was great about this situation is she goes, well, this is what I've heard from my son. And what her side of the sitcom story was that Jaime gets upset because Jacob whines whenever he doesn't get what he wants, which is a thing that I'm like, that's a Jacob thing.
Yeah.
I think it's a Jacob thing that I don't think he should do. And then there was a point when I said that Jacob, when he says that, you know, he's afraid even though he's older, and when Jacob tries to tell him it hurts his feelings, he covers his ears and runs away. And the mom was like, yeah, see, I don't like that. You know, mm-hmm. So we kind of each had these things that we're like, we're going to go to our separate corners. We're going to talk to our kids. So we kind of had that moment. And then the kids come back and the teacher was kind of still there. And the mom went to Jaime and said, hey, Jacob has something he wants to tell you, and it's important to him. You need to listen to it. So he walks over and Jacob's sitting there. And I think it's because the teacher's there, both me and the mom are there.
Right,
we're all kind of standing
right
there. I could see that Jacob was kind of uncomfortable. And so he just said, do you want to come over and play? And Jaime, it's really hard to be Jewish.
Yeah.
Said, yeah. And then they ran off again. And both, and then all the adults went, well, fucking great. We just burned 1,800 calories and lost a good 40 minutes of our life for nothing.
Right.
So then cut to, we're at the park again, and now this whole thing is coming up again. Oh, that was the other thing that I forgot from the first time we were at the park, is that Jaime was telling other kids at the playground to run away from Jacob and to not play with him.
Yeah.
And there's like there's a third part.
That, by the way, is mean.
Yeah, that is very mean.
Yeah.
And that was the other thing that the mom said. She goes, yeah, he cannot do that. That's not okay. And there's like a third boy that's in there, like their little group.
Meow, Jaime, meow.
Yeah. And I said, well, why don't you go hang out with the third boy? And that's when he said, he goes, well, he tells the third boy to run away and blah, blah, blah. And I said, well, I can't control what all those other kids do. I said, and neither can you.
Right.
I said, if that's the choice they make, I said, I think it's important that we remember that these are not bad people, that these are people that we like and that we're having a rough spot. I said, but the big part is you have to focus on how it affects you, because that's the thing you can control.
Right.
And I used a great analogy that a direct, this is going to make me sound like the cheesiest community theater actor in the world. When I was working on the Nickelodeon show at a theme park as a child, I'd moved to a different show so that a friend of mine could have a job at the theme park. If I didn't take, I had my pick. This is how awesome I am. I had my pick of the jobs there.
Yeah.
And I said, I want to work at the Nickelodeon show because it's fun. You get to slime kids and goof around all day. It's awesome. Sure. And they go, well, we'd like you
how
to be on this.
How old are you during this story?
This is, I'm 26.
Okay.
25.
Okay.
And I said, I want that job. And then I go, well, what about so-and-so, who's a friend of mine? And they said, oh, well, if you take that job, so-and-so doesn't have a job. Because I was like, they go, we want you to do the main stage show. And I said, well, just have so-and-so do the main stage show. They go, director doesn't want him for the main stage show. Mm. So I said, well, if I take the main stage show, does he still have a job? They go, he ends up at the Nickelodeon show.
Wow.
I said, all right. And so I negotiated it to where if my friend couldn't be there, then I would at least be the backup. So I could still go over there and do that. And I was like, great. So I go and I do it. Well, the director, the producer of that show liked me. The director, I guess, did not like me. So she proceeded to shit on me like crazy, just ride my ass like an asshole. And I had a very low self-esteem. And I end up as a 25-year-old grown-ass man, like, in a sense, crying because – not in a sense. I was crying.
We all know that meant you were crying. You're not kidding any of us.
I cry. And it sets. I was like, oh, I was ironically crying.
Sure.
No, I was upset because I had this job that I wanted that I'd been doing for like 3 years. Right. And I gave that up to do the right thing. And I was the only one getting fucked in this deal.
Right.
So that's all that, the rage. And there were no bosses at the time. They were all at a big meeting. So nobody could be there to shut this bitch up. And so I called the director of the Nickelodeon show and I said, hey, are these things she's complaining about, have you been noticing this about me and just not saying anything? And because she was saying I acted like I didn't care about anything that I was doing, which couldn't be further from the truth. I was probably the guy who was taking his job at a theme park way more seriously than he should.
Yes.
I was crying in my fucking stage manager's office.
Right.
So he goes, no. He said, but he told me this great story. But he goes, he does the cooler version of this. He goes, when I was doing a Broadway production of something and something with Zsa Zsa Gabor and Lauren Timmy or something. I can't remember her name. She won an Oscar. But anyway, Zsa Zsa was very mean to me, he said.
Yeah.
And he goes, so this other actress came up to me and said, Bub, if I gave you poison, would you drink it? And he goes, well, no. And so she's the poison. You decide if you drink it or not.
Oh, yeah.
So I gave him that wonderful story that hopefully he will then bore people with in his future podcast.
I'm sure if he got to the end of it and was still listening, could remember.
Oh, no,
I had to
slap him to wake him up.
Yeah, but, right.
So we kind of had that round and round happen. So
I was hoping, actually, that Zsa Zsa Gabor was going to launch into a story from when she was in something and that we were going to get a third, fourth, fifth-hand anecdote from the old country.
I'm not that good.
Okay.
I'm not good. I'll let you see the top stop spinning.
All right.
So now we're back at the park, okay? And, you know, there's this back and forth. Kids are being asked to run away from Jacob, and then it comes out he's doing it at the school as well and all this stuff. And
he being Jaime.
Jaime, yes.
Yeah.
So now the parents, then here's what was interesting. Now the other parents of the other kids, they know what's going on between our two kids.
Uh-oh.
Like, we're the fun after-school gossip bullshit.
Yeah, right.
I really hope this isn't boring. Like, to me, I'm starting to feel like this is very boring. But there's a part of me that goes, this is kind of part of the boringness of our lifestyle.
I understand.
Am I crazy?
You're not crazy. I just keep telling myself, he's not really telling the story for me. He's telling it for people who care. No, I'm joking.
As everything I do on this show, probably.
Just because my kids have grown beyond this particular type thing, but I recognize it. So please do continue.
So the other parents were talking with the other parents, and then the Jaime's mom was out with the other kids on the playground. So it wasn't like I was talking shit behind her back, but I was talking to them about what's going on.
Right.
And then them being parents, they were weighing in on whose side they were on kind of a thing.
God. Yes.
So I was being very, I felt objective and everything, but a very interesting thing happened where one of the little girls came up while we were talking. And then she
What's
goes,
her name?
Oh, Jesus, you son of a bitch. Yenta. And so Yenta's there talking. with her mom, and she goes, "Oh yeah, that happened," and she starts filling in everything that I had just said, or like picked up where I left off,
yeah,
and finished the story. So Yenta's mom, Golda, said, "And if I run out of Fiddler on the Roof names, we're fucked." So anyway, Yenta's mom, Golda, says, "Oh, is that how it happened?" I said, "Yeah, that's pretty much how it is." And then she said all the other, so he was telling all the other kids to run away from Jacob. And then Golda said to Yenta, who's the little girl, if you're keeping up.
Yeah.
And she says, "Well, what did you do?" And she goes, "What?" So she's asking her kid, there's this injustice happening.
Yeah.
What did you do? And what I found interesting is, remember the third boy who he said, like, he was asking to leave the third group of their friends? I don't have a Jewish name for him yet.
Okay.
His mom is there, and she goes, "Well, I could tell you what whatever one of the suitors was in Fiddler on the Roof did."
Right.
The Fiddler. We'll just call him the Fiddler. Yes. "I could tell you what the Fiddler did. Nothing." And it was so true, because she's like, he is forever Sweden and everything. That's his lot in life.
Right, right.
And that is kind of what he did. He just, like, he just went with the flow and or whatever. And so anyway, so then the mom comes back, and we have a conversation even more with the whole group, and kind of say, like, it's just, to me, it's very interesting, because we're talking about it way more than the kids are,
right, number one.
And number two, I just find it so odd. I love it when this stuff happens, that we have to navigate these things that our parents never even had to consider.
Right.
Like, if they made a fantasy film like Dark Crystal and the theme of the movie was parents working out the emotional conflicts of their children, everybody would say that movie's too far fetched for me.
Yeah, right.
You know what I mean? I can handle Muppets walking on stilts with hands and feet. I get that.
Yeah, okay. Right.
I could totally understand that. But when you start saying that their parents worried about the emotional conflicts, not only of just their own child, but other people's children and how their child.
Dynamic. Yeah, right.
Fuck that. So that's where we are. I kind of realized then the last episode. So then we went a day, I think, where there was nothing. And then we had another day where the teacher came out. And so here's what has happened is, and Jacob kind of said this too, where it's like they play Foursquare now on the playground, and Jaime gets out in Foursquare, doesn't like to get out, and gets angry and runs away. And so I guess that upset Jacob. Jacob wanted to be like, "No, you just come and get in the line and you get to play again after it's your turn again." Like, that's just, it's, you get out.
Yeah.
And then there was a moment, and I don't like that I'm saying this, because my fear is that I'm saying it like, "See, my kid's fucking fine." But that's not my point.
Right.
My point is that I just think all of this stuff is really interesting in that. So then he came over to our house and was playing video games.
Yeah.
And they're playing a game where they kind of shoot at each other. It's not Call of Duty. I don't let other kids play that. Just mine.
I understand.
One kid on a bell tower. Come on. Ooh, too soon, Justin. San Bernardino.
Oh, my God.
So anyway, they're playing the game and they're chasing each other in spaceships. Well, Jacob and Jack have played this game a ton, and so they're very good at it. Right. So this kid gets upset. And I also had to have a conversation on this same day with Jacob, because Jacob wanted to switch, this is really stupid, profile so they could have access to more vehicles. And, and I had to have a conversation with my son. I go, "Well, sometimes you have to do," this is me working on the whining if you don't get what you want.
Yeah.
I go, "Sometimes you have to do what other people want to do. Because that's what being a friend is. It's not always about what you want to do," kind of a thing. And he's like, "Yeah, but my thing is more fun." And I was like, I go, "Well, maybe to you it is."
Right.
And he's like, no, to everyone. Like, now here's the thing that's funny is that on paper, you cannot fault his logic. What is more fun? If I said to you, right?
Yeah.
If I said to you, there are 77 virgins waiting for you in the afterlife.
Yes.
Or one very, very awkward chemistry teacher, which would you rather have?
I'll take the virgins.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think that was the answer I was supposed to give.
Yes, thank you. Just quantitatively, it makes more sense to have more options than it does to just play something that is less interesting, right? So, I keep going around and around. I go, but it's not necessarily about what you think is more fun. I gave him the thing where I said, "Well, let's say so-and-so, you have a friend who only wants to do what they want to do, and if you ask them to do something different, they'll cry. What would you do?" And then he goes, "I would do it."
Right.
And I think he thought he had me hosed. but he does not know who he's dealing with because I said, interesting, then why won't you just do what they want to do now? They're not even crying. Right. He goes, well, because what they want to do isn't fun. So we do that. They're playing the game now. I got him to back down, and they're shooting each other in the ships. And he said, and then the other Jaime gets upset. And he goes, stop it, because he's getting shot.
Yeah.
And so I tell Jacob, I go, hey, you know, lay off or whatever. And then I kind of see the screen, and that's all that there is to do. Otherwise, they might as well just sit there and float in an empty space.
Yeah.
Because this is the world that Jaime wanted to live in this game. Like, they have ones where there's a cityscape and there's shit you could do.
Yeah, yeah.
You could drop in bad guys and fight them. But no, this is what he wanted to do. He just doesn't like losing at it.
Right.
And I was like, oh, geez, like, this is such bullshit. In the big picture of things.
Yeah, right.
And then he goes, I'm horrible at this, is what Jaime says.
Jaime says, yeah.
And then Jacob says, no, you're not. He goes, no, I'm horrible. You're awesome at this. And Jacob goes, no, you're not horrible, and I'm not awesome. He said, we're just playing. And I was like, that clearly I am the better parent, is the moral of that story.
Right, right. They should have brought me over to show him what horrible truly is.
If you could have flown around as Darth Vader in a TIE fighter, in a go-kart version of a TIE fighter, then you could really, really know. But like you said, I went off on that long story, and I'm sorry, but that you said that you had been through stuff kind of similar, and I talked to these other parents, and they'd had similar conversations with their kids, because I even told the teacher, I'm like, I would expect this. I know it sounds wildly sexist, but I would expect this drama from girls. There are two boys in your class that are creating more drama.
Yeah, I left that joke at the roadside.
You're welcome. I'll pick it up for you. And but she goes, believe me, I got girl drama too. Like, don't. But evidently, and that's what's so funny is that the other parents kind of point out that it's like with boys, the drama's not as intense as far as like drawn. Like, you could make them confront each other, and they go, you want to go play? And they go, yeah. And then it's fine. Right. Then they can move on past.
The girls go home and cut themselves.
Yes, exactly. Yes.
What I find interesting is the original thing that Jaime did when he was being mean to your son was to say that your son was afraid of everything. Jaime was describing himself because it seems as though at every turn he runs away.
Yeah.
That is not the action of a brave soul.
No.
So, I just find that part of it interesting. I found a lot of it interesting, but that part in particular, I'm highlighting.
I'm pretty much over my insecurity, so I'm not going to be sitting here going, oh, he's bored.
That a lot of the times people are most... The problems that they see in other people are actually really their own problems that they're seeing.
Yes.
Not that the other people might not have them too, but it's more revelatory of the...
That's what I kind of told. Like, it's so weird. I wish that he was having this with an actual bully, like some kid I could look at and go, that kid's a fuckwad. Like,
yeah, right.
But this kid's a nice kid who... Here's the thing. I said, Jacob, like I told him, there's going to be other people like this. And I said... I said, honestly, more often than not, when people lash out at someone else like this, I said, it's because they don't feel good about themselves. And right. I said, so just kind of know that and that it's not about you, really. It rarely is about
you
as much as it is about the other person. And I said, maybe that'll help you to not be so upset about it or you know, be able to move on. Because there was, like, I told the story about the kid who was making fun of him because he said he loved me when he was walking in, and there was an older kid who was kind of picking on him.
Yeah, yeah.
I said, it's that kind of stuff. I said, while I don't think this is Jaime's situation, because I know he comes from a loving family, I said, but what you have to be aware of is that things that are going to be important to us are not going to be important to Jaime's family. They're not going to be they're not going to be as into it as we are. And I said, but that doesn't make us better than them. And it doesn't, nor does it make us worse than them. And I said the most hippiest thing. I go, it just makes us different. That's all it is. I said, so you got to find a way to either A, accept Jaime for who he is.
Yeah.
And, you know, if you can, you know, be kind during this time where he's kind of either going through a rough patch, or if you realize that this is just who he is and you don't like it, then maybe you move on. I said, I don't know. And his thing, he kept saying, well, I'll just ignore him. And I said, okay. And then we went to a park. Jaime started in on the telling other kids to run away.
Yeah.
Oh, before that, there was a boy. This is a fucking rabbit hole I'm falling into. I'll never talk about this again. No, there's another boy who came in that used to be in their kindergarten class that now is in a different first grade class.
Is this episode of our show a two-parter?
No, it's four. I picked him up so he could go play with all of his old friends, right?
Yes, yes.
And they were doing the running away thing from him. Oh. And so I pulled my son aside and I said, excuse me. I whispered, so it wasn't making a big deal. I go, you're not all running away from Mateo, are you? And he instantly knew. He's like, oh, fuck. Like, he just gave me a look of like, I go, because you remember? He goes, yeah. I said, so no more of that, right? He goes, yeah. And then he played with this other boy, like, it brought him in. And he actually, Jacob pitched the idea of like, you know, maybe we can practice, everybody gets to be it. Like, it's not just one person,
right,
you know?
Right.
But it is this weird, like, monkey herd dynamic where it's like, oh, there's the new guy. Let's reject him.
Yeah.
Now,
right.
You know
right,
what I mean? There's right, a new right, bottom right. of the totem pole. Thanks, Dad, for picking him up and bringing the fucking fishing lure over there.
Yeah, sure, sure. That's great. Well,
but Jacob got much better at not letting it bother him, was the way I wanted to end that.
And good.
Then it kind of diffused itself, it seemed.
Good. And I hope that somewhere in all of that, like, I liked the idea that you were stressing to him that it doesn't matter what they think of you. It matters what you think of you.
Right.
So eventually he'll realize that in a few short years anyway, that drugs and alcohol can really help.
Really
with that.
Fill that.
Yeah.
Fill
they can
that
really,
hole.
Yeah. Straighten that out.
And I was going to tell him that, but I just felt like it's so hard for him to score that stuff on an elementary school play.
That's
you know what
it.
I mean?
Yeah.
That's more of like a junior high thing, I feel.
At the very least, yes.
Yeah. 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 You know, it's bad enough he grows up in Burbank. I mean, that stuff is going to be really rough to find. Maybe some like high-end like Quaaludes that kids will be doing ironically because it's like the drugs
yeah,
that
the hipster.
Their old uncles
middle
do.
Schoolers.
I don't even know if it's grandparents. It's somewhere between parents and grandparents.
Yes.
Do, but, but yeah.
Very good.
But anyway, I forgot until this very moment that when we last left our episode, you had said that you had some more, I think, stories about your trip to Utah. Am I misremembering?
Not misremembering, but I was going to share them during a moment of the week.
Got it. My bad.
So I have. That's okay. But I wanted to ask just for myself, certainly, and also for the listeners, for a brief update, emphasis on brief, with regards to your eyes.
No such thing.
No.
My eyes entered my skull when... Let me go back. My father met my mother. My eyes are actually great.
Okay.
The day after we recorded the episode, I woke up with the discomfort and blurriness in my left eye.
Yeah.
Almost entirely. The discomfort was gone. Still a little bit of blurriness. Today, the contact lens they put over was removed. I did that right before we started recording this episode. My vision is much clearer. I don't have irritation. My eyes just feel like it's a little dry in the left eye. That's it.
So, but you look better.
I feel much better.
Like you've been crying when I got here last time.
That's probably eye drops, or I was just emoting the way you do right. by yourself.
Well, I was telling the other fathers not to run away from you if you're...
And tell everybody else in the neighborhood to run away as well.
Absolutely.
Let's do some quick fun facts I found.
Okay.
These are Christmas lights could screw up your Wi-Fi. I didn't even know this was a thing. If you're looking for an excuse to get out of decorating your house this Christmas, here's one. What? Who the fuck does that? Your family would totally accept. They might even thank you for your laziness. Your Christmas lights could screw up your Wi-Fi. A British tech company studied how Christmas lights affect your Wi-Fi and found that the electromagnetic interference from the lights might slow it down. So if your Netflix gets choppy, maybe it's your decorations. They also might not, since there are a ton of factors at play, but they might. Oh, good story. They might or they might not.
That's great.
I'm glad I took the time for that bullshit.
Read them first.
Here's the thing. Yeah. Part of my fear is that if I over-cultivate an opinion before I hit them, that it doesn't have the same effect. And
I
don't get to have fun moments like that where I go, fuck
That's
you,
true.
Thing I read barely. what's the big Christmas present you're giving your significant other this year, Paco?
Well, first of all, she's listening, so I can't say.
Ah, good point. Nice awareness.
Yeah,
that's solid stuff.
Thank you. No idea. I have no idea.
I don't give my wife shit. We don't buy each other anything because evidently we've fallen out of love, I think is what that means.
Yeah, pretty much.
It says, apparently, you're part of this year's new trend called boomerang gifts and may not even realize you're doing it. Boomerang gift.
Boomerang.
The Australian weapon of choice.
I see. Yes.
A boomerang gift is when you give someone a present that also benefits you. Taking someone to a couple spa also benefits you. Getting them a sweet new iPad also benefits you. I'm not sure how.
Yeah.
Five seasons of The Wire also benefits you. A new survey found it's becoming more and more popular to the point where the majority of people are doing it now. The top boomerang gifts are box sets of TV shows, boxes of chocolates, and movies. But really, who buys box sets of TV shows anymore? Yeah, Natalie does this shit where she buys things that she says are for me.
Yeah.
Usually it's some kind of sweet food item.
Right.
And then immediately starts to cut it up and give it to the fucking kids.
Right.
And it drives me up a goddamn wall.
Right.
I guess I'm not
and
as
mature.
She
got you, the liberator. Like, yeah, that was for me.
Come on.
Yeah.
I know it's so you could find just another way to enjoy my man meat.
There you go.
Stop pretending like it's for some other reason. I made a very funny joke.
Yes.
I have a shirt that I wear to work that's a little too small for me.
Yeah.
Natalie purchased it. And I did this. They were making fun of me because I do this pose where I puff out my chest.
Yeah.
And you can essentially you see the button strain. And so Gary, who's done the show here, he commented. He's like, "That I don't know how much more of that shirt can take."
Right.
I said, "Yeah, I know. My wife keeps getting smaller and smaller shirts. It's like, I don't think she gets it. It's not like she could be trying to say something to me." Anyway, I got a kick out of that. But let's see.
Luna does not. I don't think she gives boomerang gifts necessarily. I will say that I did that. I can recall doing that, vividly recall doing it once when I was probably 11 or so, maybe 10, buying something from my brother that was a super cool thing. Like a racetrack with the cars, electric, you know, going around in a circle.
Come with two controllers? That's weird.
That is weird. That was weird. Well, my mother, who's a gift Nazi, laid into me pretty hard for having bought him something that I wanted myself. And so she was...
How old are you, 11?
Yeah, she was on a... On
How
a,
old was he?
He was 9.
Okay.
Yeah. She was on a campaign to damage my ability to buy gifts for the rest of my life. So there was just... every time gift buying comes up, I'm incredibly anxious. And, oh, it's just a misery.
You really?
Yeah, absolutely.
You gotta let that go.
I work on
Wouldn't
it.
Wouldn't it be great if I could just say that and then you're like, oh, like,
yeah.
That's sure. a solid point, Justin. I never thought of that.
I never thought of it that
never
way.
Never thought about letting it go,
just
you said?
Letting it go. Yeah.
Is that what you said?
But I have, in to a large extent, I've overcome it in the last couple of years, but it took some hard work to let it go.
And I think we all know what you're saying. What you're saying right now to your wife is, quit putting so much pressure on me with your fucking desire for gifts. I read between the lines.
Thank
you.
Thank you.
Well, in the same realm, how much will the average person in every city spend on Christmas? $805.65 on the holidays this year, according to a survey by the National Retail Federation. That's up about $3 from last year and an all-time high. But on a city-by-city basis, people spend very different amounts. WalletHub.com came up with a formula to predict how much the average person will spend on Christmas in 563 biggest cities in the U.S. The results are based on things like average income, age, debt, and savings. The cities where people will spend the most are Palo Alto, California.
Mm.
That's where Stanford and a bunch of high-tech companies are. The average person there should have a holiday budget of $2,886 or more than three times the national average. On the opposite end of the scale, Albany, Georgia. They're projected to have an average holiday budget of $68. I'm sorry I laughed, but that's a huge difference.
Yeah.
Four cities that will spend the average American budget of $805.65, Alhambra, California, Citrus Heights, California, Palm Bay, Florida, and Asheville, North Carolina. How much do you spend? Do you have a budget or do you just go nuts?
We don't have a budget exactly. We just normally we spend a little bit more than we should, but 800 seems low to me.
Really?
If I think about it.
For the whole family, though.
Yeah, for a family of four.
See, that's way high for me, but it's because we don't do gifts. We're not big gift people.
Right. Well, if
either that or I'm the dickhead that doesn't buy anybody anything.
In the old days, I'm pretty sure that might be at the bottom of it. In the old days, like, you know, if we had a game system and setting aside buying the game system, which could also happen, each kid wants a different game. They're different ages, and those games are like $60-$50 a piece. You're already just choking on money just flying out the door. And they never play it.
Did we lose you?
Yeah. Fuckers.
Fuckers. So, 'tis the season to be jolly. Fa-la-la-la. Fuckers.
So, I think we are definitely going to do a minimalist Christmas this year, if only because Chad's not. He will be back for Christmas, but he can't just take a sack full of stuff with him. So, I mean, he's limited in terms of what he can have at the school with him. So, it's going to be very simple. And then, and you know, Diego has, Diego just comes in and has a very small list. And it's like, you're not choosing. You're getting me these things. So, and
I he's more of laser focused
yeah,
on his target.
Right. Yeah. I said, just, no, just give me a big list and I'll pick stuff. He goes, no, I don't want you to pick these things. I want you to get these things.
Is it that he has made the big list and been burned before? And he's.
Maybe so. I don't know, but it doesn't help if he gives me a list of four things, and then I got to peel one off for Grandpa and Grandma to get, and peel one off for, you know, then we're done. I'm getting you one thing, dude.
So? That's what he wants.
Oh, shit. No, because I,
let it go.
No. Because the grand folks don't want to buy the things on this list. Not because of the cost, but because they go, well, it's about shooting. I don't want to get him a shooting thing.
Oh,
you know, whatever.
Come on.
So,
oh, balls.
Get him something he's not going to use.
I hate those people.
Yeah.
Well, since we had such a long conversation, we didn't get time to do this earlier, but I'll go through it pretty quick.
Yeah.
Because here's the thing. This may end this show. Because a lot of this show exists on the fact that we like to live on the idea that there isn't a recipe for making a child, right?
Right.
I mean,
right.
There is, in the sense that a man and a woman come together in a very special kiss, but or sometimes two women find a gay friend who come together in a special kiss through a turkey baster situation, or I don't know. I don't get into the muckety mucks of it.
Yeah.
But I'm not a scientist, as we saw earlier with my fingers.
Yeah.
But the But here, this science has figured it out. Science says parents of successful kids have these 11 things in common. Mm-hmm. So we could treat this like a cosmopolitan survey. That's what I did when I received this from the director of my kids' preschool.
Uh-oh.
Number one thing that you need to do if you want your kids to be successful is they make their kids do chores. If kids aren't doing the dishes, it means someone else is doing that for them, says Julie Lithcott-Hames, who you might remember from this very show, author of How to Raise an Adult. She said during her TED talk, and
oh,
so they're
listen to the show.
It's good policy.
Yeah.
So they're absolved, me neither. Of not only I barely listen when I'm doing it, but of learning. They're absolved of not only the work, but of learning that work has to be done, and that each one of us must contribute to the betterment of the whole. She said, by making them do chores, taking out the garbage, doing their own laundry, they realize I have to do the work of life in order to be part of life. Number two. They teach their kids social skills. Researchers from Pennsylvania State University and Duke University tracked more than 700 children from across the U.S. between kindergarten and age 25 and found a significant correlation between their social skills as kindergartners and their success as adults 2 decades later. So I think my son is fucked. I thought I scored a 10 out of 11 on this. I may have now been downgraded to a 9.
Uh-oh.
They have high expectations. Using data from a national survey of 6,600 children born in 2001, University of California at Los Angeles, UCLA, for those of you that are word challenged or prefer an acronym, Professor Neil Halfen and his colleagues discovered that the expectations parents hold for their kids have a huge effect on attainment. Parents who saw college in their child's future seem to manage their child toward that goal, irrespective of their income and other assets. Ugh, I might have also been downgraded. I have high expectations, just not college. I'm like, you got to fucking get a paycheck. Let's see. Number four, they have healthy relationships with each other. Children in high-conflict families, whether intact or divorced, tend to fare worse than children of parents that get along, according to a University of Illinois study review. Robert Hughes Jr., professor and head of the Department of Human and Community Development at the University of Illinois and the study review author, also notes that some studies have found children in non-conflictual single-parent families are better than children in conflictual two-parent families. I appreciate
are
that they
better. Do. That's a strange word.
Well, what fare better?
Fare better.
That's
Thank you.
It helps if I read all the words
in the right order.
That's a note for me. I'm going to take that off of my list. So now I'm down to 8 out of 7.
Okay.
Not sure how that affects my parenting. Maybe I'm not reading all the things that are being sent home from the school. Six. They teach their kids maths early on. At first, I was like, I may be giving myself too much. I probably only deserve a half credit on this.
I think so.
I teach them maths in relation to money.
Right.
How they don't have it.
Yeah.
I say, you have zero.
Right.
I have a lot.
Yeah.
And you need to work in order to have more than zero.
Yeah.
There's your math.
There, and there's your expectation.
I kill. Listen, I'm hitting a lot of birds with one stone.
Yeah.
2007 meta-analysis of 35,000 preschoolers across the U.S., Canada, and England, like they count, found that developing math skills early can turn into a huge advantage. Were you going to say something? You were just touching.
No, it's okay.
What?
Okay. I wasn't going to say anything.
They develop a relationship with their kids. This is the where I'm like, wait, what? So what you're trying to say to me is that if I look at my child, it's better for him? Whatever. A 2014 study of 243, well, what kind of a sample is 243 people, born into poverty, found that children received a sensitive caregiving in their first 3 years, not only did better in academic tests in childhood, but had healthier relationships and greater academic attainment in their 30s. Mm. They're less stressed. I think that means the parents have to be less stressed.
Oh, yeah.
According to recent research cited by Bridget Schulte at Washington Post, the number of hours that moms spend with kids between ages 3 and 11 does little to predict the child's behavior, well-being, or achievement. What's more, the intensive mothering or helicopter parenting approach can backfire. Mothers stress, especially when mothers are stressed because of the juggling with work and trying to find time with kids, that may actually be affecting their kids poorly. Study co-author and Bowling Green State University sociologist Kai Nomaguchi, who is not a Pokemon, told the Post,
or a Jew.
Well, then why should we listen to him? They value effort over avoiding failure. Reading is hard. Where kids think success comes from also predicts their attainment. Over decades, Stanford University psychologist Carol Dweck has discovered that children and adults think about success in one of two ways. Over at the Always Fantastic Brain Pickings, Maria Popova says they go a little something like this. A fixed mindset assumes that our character, intelligence, and creative ability are static, given that we can't change in any meaningful way. And success is the affirmation of that inherent intelligence, an assessment of how those givens measure up against an equally fixed standard. Striving for success and avoiding failure at all costs becomes a way of maintaining the sense of being smart or skilled. That makes sense to me. When I read it, it made sense to me. Did it make sense the way I said it?
That's funny that you should put it that way. I was having trouble following, but I wasn't very well raised.
Well, I think the headline is enough to say they value effort over avoiding failure. So it's
right,
like,
right.
At first, because I will be the first to tell my child when he has failed.
Yes.
But I don't necessarily tell him things like, don't do that because you might fail. I think that's what they're really talking about.
Right.
I tell him the best and fastest way to learn is to fuck up. That's what I say. This is obviously an article written from England because it says, the mums work. According to research out of Harvard Business School, there are significant benefits for children growing up with mothers who work outside the home. The study found daughters of working mothers went to school longer, were more likely to have a job in a supervisory role, and earn more money, 23% more compared to their peers who were raised by stay-at-home mothers. It's funny that I look at that and I'm like, I feel like it's an easy way to find loopholes in that. Does that make sense? Like,
yes.
It's like, it could, there's always the other thing. Like, well, if mom is working,
yes,
right, that usually means dad's already working too.
Usually,
these are people who put an emphasis on careers. And I think that speaks more to the fact that whether or not, because a mom could be a stay-at-home mom and still emphasize career and education.
I'm going to...
More is caught than taught, you think?
Well, what I'm going to say is just because you have two working parents doesn't mean that those parents are especially focused on their career, but they are focused on paying their bills.
Yeah.
You know, one guy could be a garbage man and the you know, the wife could be whatever a female equivalent of a garbage man is. And so neither one of them is going to rise through the garbage
I think it's gender challenged waste receiver. I think is the term you're looking
Excellent.
For.
Excellent. So I don't know. I think that over at the Lancini house, we probably had about three of those. So we missed on about eight of them, I think. But also, I think it's interesting to take them and apply them if you want to test the because listen. You could say, hey, I got 10 out of 11 or 9 or 8 or whatever your ended up your number ended up being once we audited the truthfulness.
After the audit, 4.
4, exactly. But whatever you think your number is, you're not going to know whether or not what they're saying, whether that's just complete bullshit or not, for another 15 or 20 years.
Did you not hear the scientific names that I mentioned and the titles
that's
true. The number of people surveyed?
But if you want to test the validity of that, think about yourself and your own childhood and apply it to you and then say, oh, I see. I did turn out that way, so this is actually correct.
So if it's, this is how I treat these. I treat these as a source of validation unless I disagree with them and then I think they're bullshit.
Yeah, I think you hit it. Yes,
get it?
That's
right,
it.
Good. That's what you were saying.
That's the way to handle it. Yes.
Idiot. Then the last one is which is I think the most obvious of them all. They have a higher socioeconomic status. Tragically, 1/5 of American children grow up in poverty, a situation that severely limits their potential. It's getting more extreme. According to Stanford University research, Sean Reardon, the achievement gap between high and low income families is roughly 30-40% larger among children born in 2001 than among those born 25 years earlier. So there you go. So if you could go back and keep listening to each one of those things. And
I like how the study that said that it was harder to first of all, that they needed a study to figure out that life is harder if you're poor.
Right.
And that you don't end up accomplishing as much. But that study came out of Stanford, which, by the way, isn't free.
Yeah. Which spends more on Christmas than any other place in the known world. I think what was I going to say to that? One of the things that I thought was that they did say also that this was another study that we talked about actually on the radio show is that then Bill was making fun of this where they found that children who grew up with parents that were more well off expect like how did they put it? They said weren't they relied on them more. So they were more reliant on their parents than, say, if you grew up poor.
Yes.
When I had Thanksgiving with Bill's relative, one of the guys who was there said, my parents were so horrible with money that it became the thing that I knew I wanted to be good at. It almost motivated me to financial success because they were so stupid and broke all the time.
Yes.
And it's that thing where I think struggle is a great teacher.
And then in the process, he was ruining his own children.
Yeah.
Because he was being successful.
Exactly. Yes. And then they'll destroy whatever trust fund they have.
Exactly.
And then raise another generation.
Precisely.
So what I plan to do is when I turn 79, I will gather all of my wives and my money in front of the children, and I will set it ablaze.
Okay.
And hopefully that will be enough time. Or I'll just live by, and I wish he wasn't such a horrible human being, because then it would be more fun to quote him. But Bill Cosby's latest joke of where the kids didn't want to be dropped off in a jack wire in front of the high school because they didn't want people to think that they were rich. Their friends would make fun of them. And he'd go, oh, you just tell them that you don't have anything. Your mother and I are very rich, but you are broke.
Right.
You are poor.
Yes. Is this a joke he's telling recently?
Was his last special on Comedy Central, so maybe 6 years ago.
Oh, okay, so this is a while back. That's not what they're saying when you drop off your kids at school anymore, Bill. Doesn't matter what you're driving. you fix that problem.
They go up to your daughter and go, are you okay?
Oh, my God.
Oh, God. It's the communicator.
Yeah. Don't drink the juicy juice.
Oh, I like that.
What?
Jessica just said in the chat room, she goes, this isn't my career. My career is mom. I work for sanity. Because I do think that I know it says that, you know, moms who work. I think that there's an idea, too, of.
Yeah.
I think it's just the focus. I'm gonna say something that doesn't need to be said. What I was gonna say, I think it's the emphasis on the family. Like, you know what I mean? Like that. No matter what you're doing, it's like Natalie feeling guilty because she's like, I could spend more time with the kids if I wasn't working so much. And I go,
right?
Yeah, but the kids aren't really wanting for anything except for maybe less time with their father and more time with their mother. But and I know that supports your argument. No. No, they aren't really wanting for anything, and I think also what it does is it creates this ancillary example of, like, that's what you do. Like, they become blind tiger cubs in that they don't know any different. They just go, when you get older, you work to pay for shit, and I think that's a very valuable thing for people to learn.
And also, I mean, just as far as her concerns about maybe, you know, Luna spent time away from the kids. And I don't think that her having spent more time with them would have changed the fundamental nature of the relationship between them.
Right.
If it's a solid, healthy,
yes,
you know, good connection, then less of it is fine because it's so good. Unfortunately, in her case, it's just a terrible, terrible relationship.
Right, but other so than that part of your example, though, it's really a good point that you're
exactly
making. No, I think it is in that thing of one of the greatest things about me doing stand-up is that it gave me this constant reminder of how much I love my kids because I got to be away from them. I know that doesn't make sense.
But plus the road tail.
It's, oh, gosh. Oh, my gosh. The amount of children I have out there that nobody knows who they are.
Oh, boy.
No, it may, and I have to kind of remind myself of that from time to time.
Yeah.
And I'm thankful to have that perspective. But listen, fucking blowhard me. Shut up, Justin. Nobody cares. Oh, I want to do this. Okay, we'll do this real quick, and then we'll move on. Because I like the trendy baby names.
Oh, yeah.
And the new trends are Instagram filters and Empire character names. So these are actual names, and they're Instagram. They're the names of the Instagram photo filters that you can put on. The name,
one of which is Hudson.
Oh, that's a. Oh, I was hoping for more like sepia. Lux is up 75%.
Wow.
Ludwig is up 42%. Amaro is up 26%.
Amaro.
Valencia is up 26%. Other name filters like Ray's, Hudson, Kelvin, Juno, and Willow also had jumps. Black and White up 2%.
Really?
No.
Oh, God.
Empire. Do you watch Empire? I don't watch Empire.
No, I don't.
Right?
No.
I think I think it makes me a racist. Dre is up 77%. Like the doctor had nothing to do. What would you rather be, a fictional character or a fucking doctor with billions?
A doctor.
Okay. Lion is up. Thanks for answering. May have been rhetorical.
Oh, okay.
Got it. Lion is up 61%. Hakim is up 55%.
Wait, what was before Hakim?
Dre, the doctor.
No, you said Lion?
Lion with a Y. Can't be called
none of this.
And the name Lucius is actually back to being used. It looked like it was going to go extinct before Empire. I never thought of that a name could be extinct.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Like, do they have the racial breakdowns on what groups these are up in?
No, because Obama's president, we don't have. We're blind to that stuff.
Okay.
Now. You got to get with the times. You're becoming set in your ways.
I am.
AARP cardinal. Royalty. Duchess is up 75%. Rain, as in like that R-A-I-N, R-E. IGN, 54% increase on that. Sultan, I would have liked to name one of my kids Sultan.
These are all names in.
Yeah.
Wait a minute. In Empire?
No, this is royalty. This is a different category.
Oh, okay. Different category.
The two highest increases were in Instagram filters and character names of Empire from Empire.
Okay.
Let's see. Princess is up 22%, and the name Royalty itself is up 90%. gender neutral names. Wyatt is up 84% for girls. That is not gender neutral, I don't think. Lincoln is up 47% for girls. I'll allow it. Maxwell is up 39% for girls. Piper. I like Piper for, it's a boys. It's up 64%
for
boys.
Yeah, because here's the thing is, just because you run around naming your girl that name doesn't automatically make that name gender neutral.
Yeah, exactly.
It doesn't sound like any of those names are gender neutral to me, but again, I'm set in my ways.
I'm so lucky I don't have a girl because I would totally call her Bill or Bob, Tom.
Yes.
Just fuck with people. Really just her, but still. All right, let's do some moment of the week.
You made them. You love them. And sometimes you want to choke the living shit out of them. But occasionally, they give you that one sweet moment. This is that moment. Moment of the Week, brought to you by Stitcher, the free app that handles all your podcasting needs without having to sync to your computer. Stream all your favorite podcasts right to your Droid, BlackBerry, or iPhone. Just go to thedadpodcast.com and click on the Stitcher logo on the left-hand side. It's free, people, and they give us money if you do it.
All right, Paco, hit us with the moment of the week.
Okay. These are moments of the week from Utah, as a matter of fact. One was just something that that Chad said that made me laugh, which was that I had made a, what do you call that, Krispy Kreme run. Actually, I made several, but this is the first one. Doesn't really matter. And everyone had wanted, well, I want this and I want that and so on and so forth. So I'd gotten some of them there. But in particular, I had interest in the pumpkin donut, which I had never had, and I thought that sounded intriguing.
'Tis the season.
Yes, exactly. What I didn't realize, it was the very last day. The next time I went back, they didn't have them anymore. So everyone is taking the ones that were meant for them, and he's finished with the ones that were meant for him. And then he holds up a pumpkin one, and he says, May I have this now that I've got my filthy hands all over it?
Was that last part in parentheticals?
Yeah,
it was more implied by the look on his eyebrows.
When he said, "May I have this?" he realized, "Oh, well, now I'm touching it; it's mine."
And then he ate it. Yeah, right. He didn't
care. No, he didn't care what the answer was. Watching my two boys at the gym at the hotel was very cool because Chad has been like doing more intense phys ed classes, and he's joined the cross country team there, and they're just a lot of exercises that they're doing, and Diego had done some cross country running a couple of years back, so it was just them, you know, banging it out on the treadmill, and then they're getting on the floor and doing core work together, and it was kind of cool,
like watching some kind of Rocky montage.
Yeah, seriously. Yeah, I should have played
more tear inducing.
Yeah. We did see Creed when we were together, and they enjoyed that.
What
they did.
Well, I got to make one because we got to talk about your podcast. I almost forgot.
I wasn't quite done.
Oh, I'm sorry.
That's okay. I'll do it as quick as I can.
No, you don't have to.
Because it made me think of you a bit. And it's not a story. It's not a once again, patented. It's not a thing with my own children, but it does involve a kid. And this time it's a teenager rather than some 8-year-old who's passing by. We did this 5K. And I was basically walking it because it was the anniversary of the 5K that gave me the Bell's palsy, so I wasn't going to push myself the way I did the year before. Chad and Diego take off. They're just out of sight soon enough. And Luna and I are going to walk it together, and within a few seconds, she is gone. She's left me in her dust.
Are you fucking kidding me?
No.
People better hope and pray that I never end up in a hospital waiting room with just them and me.
Well,
the jawing that they will get,
yes,
will give them each Bell's palsy.
There you go. I hope that too, because that I think means I'm in the hospital.
Yes.
if that happens.
And we're all waiting for the good news.
Okay,
but in the interim, I'm going, you sons of bitches.
Right. Although for some of them, the good news might not be the same as what you think the good news would be. At one point, there was this group of soldiers that came by. Each guy had his own American flag, like a really sizable flag, just a beautiful. You know, I kept pace with them for a while because it was really inspiring just in the rising sun to see this sight. And every once in a while, they were all wearing backpacks, too. And every once in a while, people would run up with a backpack and a soldier and join that group, and then they'd keep going. And there was this one kid who ran by me, might have been 12 or 13, with a backpack on, trying to catch up with them. He was alone. There wasn't a soldier escort with him. And he had these, he was wearing more like boots rather than running shoes, and they weren't tied. So every time he lifted his foot, it would start to fall off, and then he would land it in again. And I thought, well, you really got to stop and tie those because you're gonna get hurt. And he disappeared around the corner or whatever. And eventually I came upon him again where the road did this big sort of loop, and he was cutting across the field so that he could not catch up with those soldiers faster. Still, his shoes are all flapping in the air, but now he's on uneven ground. I'm like, God, you are going to break your neck. I thought, if I see him again, I'm going to have to stop and tie his shoes. So anyway, I came around the corner. I got to where he had cut through, and now he was standing there tying his own shoes. He's saying, thank God that's over. And I keep going, and I'm walking along, and then he comes bolting past me a moment or two later, and running on the side of the road, which was all rocks. Shoes are untied. I'm like, I just saw you 90 seconds ago tying those shoes. What are you doing? And his shoes are and again, it looks like he's like, you know, like when a gazelle or like a very skinny model, that kind of wobbly ankle. Anyway, go on and on. 5 minutes later, I come around another corner, and now there's one of those soldiers who is down on one knee tying the kid's shoes. And the sun is coming up over here, and I'm like, this is the most fantastic photograph, photo op I've ever seen. I could be on the cover of Life magazine with this, taking this picture of this guy. I whip out my camera, and I'm trying to take the picture, and I can't get the thing started. It's the battery is like completely dead or something. And so I finally get it going, and then it dies. And I'm just like, this is this glorious moment where the sun is rising and the people are going by and the flag's in the distance and he stopped to help this kid. And so they wrap it up and I'm like, well, I guess I'm not going to get a picture of this. It's not going to work for me. And as they stand up, the soldier says to the boy, do it right the next time. And at first of all, I thought of you.
That's why he protects our country.
Yeah.
God bless America. Now,
I'm not sure. I'm gathering from that that they actually know each other. Maybe that's
no.
his son.
No.
And
some random kid, he's stepping in to do the right thing.
Yeah.
That's what soldiers do. They step up.
And I thought, awesome. I'm glad that my kids aren't afraid to ask me to tie their shoes.
Do it right the next time.
Do it right the next time.
Mine'll go quick. The all right. Jack... What did Jack do? Here's the thing. Jack has lots of moments, but they're not moments to where they could be connected to anything to remember, if that makes sense. Like, it's mostly, again, I keep saying the same. It's a lot of him just talking bullshit. That's just, and it's an ongoing, just know that if you're ever like, I want to adjust this right now. I'm listening to my four-year-old son say the craziest shit in the world.
Right.
Like it's the most serious and real thing you've ever heard.
Yeah.
But Jacob had the line of the week. I have because I want to make sure I quote it properly. Oh, okay, yeah. I have to know what curse words Natalie said. Natalie went with them to the in-laws for Thanksgiving.
Oh, yeah.
Dodge by me, if you remember. And she's driving the car, and somebody cut her off and happened to be a female. So Natalie said, stupid fucking bitch. And Jacob started laughing.
Yeah.
And he said, they should make a movie about you, mama. And Natalie goes, why? He goes, because you say funny things. I think people would like it. No, he didn't say that thing. I'm sorry. He said people would like it. People would like it. Yeah. That's what she said.
Well, I'd go to that.
Right. But I just like the idea that my son wants to see a movie of his mother cursing at people. I don't think it was limited just freeway talk.
Right.
Because she doesn't. She'll throw... But her first time as a mother protecting her child in public was at a Costco when Jacob was walking. He was a little over one.
Yeah.
And so I remember I went to a Lowe's. I know I've told this story here, but I came into the Costco where we're at. And I go, oh, man, how am I going to find them? It's in a fucking Costco. As soon as that thought enters my brain, I go, why don't you mind your fucking business, is what I hear from my wife.
Yes, that's awesome.
Oh, there she is.
That's mine.
How did the guy working at the Verizon tent inside Costco had said to my wife, you know, you might want to keep him closer or whatever. And in her defense, he had already gone two laps. With, is this your son? Yeah, it's just, I got him, is what she said. It's kind of dangerous. She goes, I got him. And he goes, well, you might want to keep him close. Mind your fucking business. It's the love of my life.
That's awesome.
All right, Paco, ladies and gentlemen, I think we've made mention of it on this show before.
We have.
But Paco finally has another podcast up.
Oh,
feels
so
good,
hot.
Right?
Yes, it does.
You are so high.
It does.
You're so internet savvy and ready. So tell us about the show because everybody needs to tune in.
Yeah, absolutely. This is sort of replaces Paco's Pick a Flick. It's a larger, more ambitious version of that. There isn't a theme song at this point, but it's still pretty damn good. It is. I do it with a friend of mine, a guy I went to college with, so I've known him for 30-something years. We've talked about a lot of movies together, and we crack each other up a lot, and we both just said, this is good stuff. Let's share it with the world, much as you have done here.
Yeah.
So the show is called Hollywood RX, as in
medicine.
Exactly. We are going
I got really afraid when I said medicine, the look on your face that I said something that ruined what you were about to do.
No, not at all.
I thought I was going to go like, pharmacy.
we're going to figure out what's wrong with Hollywood. We're going to prescribe a treatment. So that we have a lot of very powerful opinions going on here. And so you can just go to iTunes and search for Hollywood RX. It's the only one on there. And listen to Adam Dooley and Gregor.
So you go by
Meyer.
Adam Dooley on that show?
I do.
That show's good enough to use your real name?
I'm not saying anything
understandable.
Horrifying that would make my family upset is what it is. It's going on there. So I do say some horrifying
things.
Let's be
fair. I say more horrifying things that would upset your family.
They would be horrified.
Even at your family.
That's true.
Than
that's
you ever
true.
Could imagine
that's
to do.
It wasn't always that way. I was just nervous because they were so much younger when I started and so much more worried about their privacy. But what I will do right now, hold on, let me just pull up the, you know what, that's not even working. Hold on.
Flick something into the internet and see what happens.
No, the thing is my cursor isn't going around anymore.
Your what did you call me?
Cursor. Hang on one second.
While you're doing that, yes. I will ask these questions about your podcast.
Please do.
This other person,
yes.
Do they have similar tastes in movies as you? So what I'm asking is, will there yes. be... you know, you with your love of French movies about a potted plant
yes.
that is trying to escape Nazi Germany.
Right.
And then someone else who likes real movies.
Right.
Or is it two guys talking about a mime and his early existence as an Aboriginal person trying to get into the circus of South America?
Well, I will answer that by saying, I will answer that by telling you the first three movies we reviewed. I think this will answer your question. One was The Martian.
Good.
One was Sicario, which was a pretty big release that came out.
Did you say you did not like The Martian?
Well, I didn't answer that question ever because you have to tune in and find out.
Oh, wow. Look at the pro of the tease.
And Spectre.
Okay.
Okay, so we're targeting...
What was the middle one?
Sicario, okay. Which was an action film that came out with... I've forgotten all of it.
Yeah, you got to tune in. You can't yeah, there give away you go.
No, I can't
details.
Give it away. Like, who's in it? So, anyway, here's what I want to tell you about The Martian. I'm not going to tell you what we said, but I'm going to tell you that in the course of this 50-minute podcast, we not only talked about the film itself
uh-huh.
and Ridley Scott, who directed it,
yeah,
but this is the list of other things that we touched on while discussing The Martian. Matt Damon, Gravity, Castaway, Tom Hanks, Michael Peña, Danny Glover, Donald Glover, Interstellar, Christopher Nolan, Deer Hunter, Apocalypse Now, Prometheus, Legend, Tim Curry, Tom Cruise, Kristen Wiig, Sean Bean, Game of Thrones, on and on and on. We hit all of those.
Just talking about The Martian.
Just talking about The Martian. Wow. And you will hear about a lot of movies I like. It might be the movie I saw, but it might be a movie that it reminded me of in some way. It's not just me saying, I hated this, don't go. In fact, we assume everyone who's listening has already seen it because we do some spoilers.
Oh, crap. A lot of active ingredients in this prescription.
Oh, my goodness. Yes, there are a lot of active ingredients. So there are, you know, often, you know, 60 different things that we touch on while we're talking about the main thing.
You know what? I've been thinking, in a podcasting world where there's literally a podcast about everything,
yes.
what you have done is you have found the niche in that not enough podcasts are talking about what I'm only could assume
yes.
the comparisons between Donald and Danny Glover.
Yes, exactly.
That's
exactly.
what is missing in our right. Indian internet audio medium.
Right. At the very end of the show, he said Matt Dillon instead of Matt Damon. See, so we really do. We really do. I mean, he's an
unfair
old...
sale now. I should have just let it go because now it sounds like instead of Hollywood medicine, it's like grandpa's talking movies.
There is a little bit of that in there. There
good
is
stuff. I That's mean, good stuff. Matt Dillon, boy, he's yes. very good. I like him.
There, I don't.
You're
use...
thinking of Matt Damon. It's Matt Damon is in The Martian. What?
Right.
Matt Damon is in The Martian.
He gave some...
Matt Dillon is no longer relevant.
He gave some example of something, and then I had a whole tirade that I went back on him, but I was using the wrong actor's name. When I was like, that's a terrible example, and I started going why it was wrong, but and he never even noticed.
Huh? Donald Glover was in Community.
And,
right?
Yes, and in The Martian.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
No, I will say that...
Danny Glover is too old for this shit, much like me and you.
The Martian was, I liked the fact that they were solving problems, not using violence, but using, you know, smarts. That I liked about it. That I liked
that
a
sense.
Lot. I thought,
you know, smarts.
I would watch Matt Dillon. He was just fascinating me.
You
everything
Damon.
He was doing there. Did I say Dillon again?
Stay frosty, everybody.
Matt Damon. I would watch him. He was fascinating to me. Everything he was doing.
Yeah, that was great.
Was really, really cool.
Was
I wasn't as excited about
Castaway in Space.
Yes, I'm sure that's how they sold it in an elevator.
Yeah. All right. So that was our show. So check out Hollywood RX to get all of the latest movies that you probably have already seen, but hear two guys talk about them in hilarious fashion involving 80 other subjects on one film. I hope this doesn't sound... I think this is great. I like the...
Thank
I
you
like,
very much.
I like the idea that there are 80 things that come up
yes.
when you're talking about one movie.
Exactly.
Because that is, I think, what was missing from Siskel and Ebert's day, is that
right.
they would just focus on the film.
On the film.
And nobody would get their tangential thoughts
right.
on things.
But there's a guy who shot it, but he also shot about this other thing we loved? And what about that other one?
Oh my gosh,
so
you guys
so
get into cinematographers,
we
too?
We get into cinematographers, some music, all of it.
We have a very hot, well, all the moms that listen to the show, we have yes. a hot mom who likes to listen in a bathtub.
I remember.
That's going to be happening. She's yes. going to be listening about your thoughts on Matt Dillon.
She should jump in there because it's...
Visualizing Matt Damon in her mind.
The water is warm. Come join us.
All right, send us an email to show@thedadpodcast.com. Give us a like at facebook.com/dadpodcast. Don't forget to join the fan group, Staying Frosty with the Dad Podcast. That's a place where you could go share stories. Lots of people doing this. Sometimes when I fire up the chat room and the live streaming here, you see people that are weighing in on things that are happening.
Absolutely.
There on that page. I only can imagine. If there's something that people are saying that they're describing that I don't understand,
right.
My assumption is it's happening at Staying Frosty with the Dad Podcast.
It is. That's right. Everything over there.
I'm good at that. All of our social media handles are in the description of this episode. BT Dubs, I bought the cable for anybody who wants to watch me do my dumb job at the radio station.
Yes.
I bought the new cable that should make it easier. I was going to try it today, but unfortunately some whack job decided to shoot up just a random building in Santa. So yeah. It's like nobody really wants to see me just stare because there's no fun being had when you're talking about
tragedies. They're even cutting
in
on that feed. The news, the local news is even is preempting
anything
your,
to have new content. Yeah. It's like, look at this gray-haired chubby guy. Does he not have glasses anymore? I could see the indents from the old little things on his nose, so I think he recently had LASIK. But I changed my Twitter handle because I overthink things. Now my Twitter handle for the radio show is KFI Justin. It used to be just in your ear.
Yeah.
That should not affect anybody who's followed me on Periscope because all I did, or on that Twitter handle, all I did was change the name of it so all the followers stay the same. But
okay.
If you have not followed me there yet, please follow KFI Justin. You can see the spelling if you don't know how letters work in the description of this episode. Please spread the word about this show. Tell three people, blah, blah, blah. We had a great turnout. We already said we got $300 this month from people Christmas shopping through Amazon. So Paco's going to tell you more about our Amazon banner.
Well, let me tell you about this thing. What you need to do is you need to go to the Dad Podcast and scroll down to the bottom. At the bottom there, you'll see a banner. You see a beautiful banner. Click on that banner.
Banner? You mean the Incredible Hulk?
No, I mean David. David is such a nice name. You should have used the name David before.
I was thinking of Eric.
Oh, I see Banner. Yes. But David Banner and Eric Banner, it's the same word.
One of those words has an R in it, and you're not saying it.
But we don't say the R because it's the wrong thing to do to say that R. So David Banner would tell you to go, and so would Eric Banner, tell you to go to the Dad Podcast, click through to Amazon, bookmark that every time you go back. You buy a little of this, you buy a little of that, a tchotchke here, whatever it is. And, you know, you get your thing. You didn't spend any extra for it. What are you complaining about? But these two fellas, it's a mitzvah. It's called a mitzvah. Do this mitzvah for these two fellas, whether it's for your Christmas or your Hanukkah, your whatever it is. Go ahead and do that. It's the best thing you can do for the holidays.
Good stuff. On behalf of Paco Lanzini, a.k.a. Adam Dooley, this is Justin Worship saying hug your kids, help your loved one, and stay frosty, my friends.